Welcome to episode 47. In this episode, Laura Baker will talk about how she creates PD posters for her school to spread strategies that can support language learners. Welcome to the Empowering Elves podcast. I'm Tan Nguyen, and the goal of this podcast is to serve language learners just like me and to empower passionate teachers just like you. Because you're listening to this podcast, I bet you would call yourself a lifelong learner. You probably, like me, nerd out on all things related to teaching. You have lots of ideas and strategies that you have collected throughout the years. I also bet that you sometimes want to share these strategies with your colleagues, but you don't have the means to do that, or the platform. I like to share a strategy called Bathroom Briefs with you as a medium to channel your desire to easily share strategies with teachers. If you're interested in learning more strategies to support language learners, I have several highly interactive courses. You can find more information by going to my website. I hope you consider joining. Now, on to today's podcast. Today, I am joined by Laura Baker, and I'll let her introduce herself in a second, but we're going to be talking about Bathroom Briefs, and the format of this is two parts. First, we'll do a commentary part where I'll explain the Bathroom Briefs and the history of it, and Laura is going to be like the voice of the listeners, and she's going to ask questions if she feels like it, if they're authentic, and she will add comments as she needs when I'm presenting. It's just like co-planning where let's say that Laura is the co-teacher and I'm sharing an idea, and then she's commenting as we go along and share, and so she can do that. Then the second part is I will interview her because she's also creating her own bathroom briefs for her school. So we'll switch that role and we'll turn into an interviewee role. Okay. So the origins of bathroom briefs actually started all the way back in my college days. I attended Dickinson College many, many years ago, and I would use the bathrooms in the Student Union Center, and in the bathrooms there was a toilet paper, but it's not the toilet paper you're thinking about. It's actually a poster. It was printed by the Counseling Center or the Career Center, and it was used to advertise all these things that were happening, like opportunities for students, internships, places where guest speakers who were coming to talk about work and career. It was just a way to get students' attention on things that they could do to help them get ready for their careers. Also, the toilet paper also had tips on how to write a resume, how to write a cover letter, things to avoid doing during interviews, things to do during your interviews, how to contact people professionally through email. I thought it was really fun. And I thought it was really a great way to share information because you have a captive audience. Years later, when I started teaching, I wanted to share strategies with teachers, but I know they're super busy and I know that they're not able to sit down and learn the strategies, or I can't share it during a whole staff meeting because other meetings have already been booked out or scheduled with very particular topics. And also, I know that I can only share strategies with teachers that I'm working with, but I wanted to share strategies with the wider school community because, well, my kids go to those classes too. So I would create the graphics and print them out and then put them in both gendered bathrooms, and I would rotate them out weekly. The goal was to share strategies that they can use and write it in a super clear way that would help them be able to implement these strategies with their kids without the need of me being there to show them. I know that there are readers on my blog who post them, print them out and post them on their bathrooms and or their coffee centers or their lounges. And there are teachers out there who are just like Laura, take it to the next step, and they create their own version of bathroom briefs for their own context. Laura, would you introduce yourself to the listeners?
Sure. I am Laura Baker. I am an ESL teacher in Fairfield, Connecticut. I am currently on my fourth year of teaching ESL, but previously I was a classroom teacher for 8 years and also a reading specialist for 3.
Laura, can you tell us about how you're using or have used Bathroom Briefs?
Well, that was, you know, directly the inspiration from you. So I actually used yours for my first year. And it's just at the school we have, there's about 470 kids and about 90 of them are ESL students. So we don't really have as a department a chance to really do professional development with the teachers. So I thought doing the Bathroom Briefs would be a great way. And I think you have the little tagline, EAL strategies on the go as you go.
Yes.
And so I thought that's perfect to be able to, you know, just give little snippets of the ESL world to teachers kind of in a non-confrontational, you know, atmosphere. It's a little bit easier. There's only 5 bathrooms I have to cover at my school because the staff all has a separate bathroom and it's unisex. But one of the male teachers did point out I wasn't having one facing the back of the toilet. So I did correct that and start putting ones on the back too for our 2 male teachers.
Oh, that's so great that they actually, so I put them in the back of the toilets as well. And so like the stalls inside the door. And so, that's great that the teacher actually went up and talked to you about it.
Yeah, he said, he's like, you know, it's a problem reading it because, you know, I'm not facing that direction. I'm like, oh yeah, that's easy to take care of. So I try to do Friday afternoons. Well, the last 2 years I've been trying to replace them weekly. This year I haven't been as good because my role shifted a little bit.
Yeah.
But the last 2 years, every Friday afternoon I'd stay at school really late and then hit up all the bathrooms. So that way when the teachers came back, there would be a new fresh bathroom brief. If there was one that I thought was particularly impactful for the teachers or something that they really would need to see, I would leave that up usually a little bit longer. But I started off with just using your stages of the ESL student.
Yes.
So we, you know, they could all have that, you know, general knowledge of like what should a student be able to do at these different levels? Because I think because I'm new to that district and the school, I think the knowledge base of some of the teachers was definitely varying.
And that's why, go ahead, I'm sorry.
So I did yours the first year.
Yep.
And then I started to tailor it more to what Connecticut teachers needed, yeah. Like starting off with the language standards, because most of the people in the district hadn't heard of those. So I was introducing that to the teachers. And then from the ESL book club that we participate in or that you co-created, I was able to take some of the learnings from the books that we have done,
yes.
And start, you know, putting snippets of that,
yes.
That really would apply to the school.
Yes. So I guess I want to talk about 2 things. The first thing I heard you talk about was that you wanted to share strategies in a way that was less confrontational, less time consuming, and really easy and effective. Efficient, because to have a principal or a head of school say, yes, we're going to have EL or ESL, ELPD, that takes a lot. And if it happens 1 year and it happens again, people are like, we've already learned about this. We don't want to hear it again. And so it's the same philosophy of like, oh, small little drops, and then really innovative.
Yeah, they're digestible chunks.
Yes, yes.
Mm-hmm.
And they're consistent throughout the year.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And then the second thing is I heard that you talked about, well, you said that you then made it your own and did it for Connecticut in your own school context. And that's like the also another motivation for sharing it with teachers online.
Right, right. Yeah, because like I said, I mean, yours was a great starter.
Yes.
And just kind of giving a lot of the basics of just good ESL teaching and things to know, like you have the ones about the scaffolds, all of that stuff is really important for classroom teachers to know. But then I wanted to shift it. So, I mean, they always talk about differentiating, you know, as good classroom practice. So I wanted to differentiate from my school. And so that's why I started. And then as we were doing the book studies, I saw certain things. I'd be like, oh, this is something that really could benefit the school. So I started, you know, just kind of putting you know, the highlights of some of the books I've read. Plus, if teachers had more questions about one of the bathroom briefs, then I would have the books and I could share the books with them.
So another way that you're sharing with the audience is that you don't have to create your own. You can actually go on Twitter, and if you find things that are really beautiful or really effective, you can just print them out and then put them up. And the concept is the same thing, where we give bite-sized PD for teachers in an effective way without having to have them say, sit down and let me tell you about these strategies.
Yeah. Right. And then the teachers who want to know more will ask you.
Yes.
Also, Valentina Gonzalez has a lot of great infographic posters.
Yes.
A lot of times those will be up next to the bathroom briefs. So the bathroom briefs, I taped up the little plastic holder.
Yes.
And
yes.
That's, I just like constantly switching that. So I'm not like taping all sorts of new things on the wall. So I'm just switching that out.
Oh, what sometimes, a great idea.
If it's a series, I will keep like, say if there's like five that are connected, I'll keep all five in there. So if, you know, someone wanted to ask or look, they could see it. But then like I'll have some of Valentina's infographics up there. Like I know she had one about working with ESL students or ELLs during the holidays, like, you know, holiday tips.
Yes.
So, you know, that's up at this time of year.
Yes, she's a just great resource.
Just remind teachers.
Yes. And I love your idea of putting it in the plastic holders, which are like the plastic sheet protectors.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's so great.
So very easy to switch out. And then I keep them all in a binder. So I've actually had some teachers ask if they can have my binder so then they can go back and read everything. But also, you know, I figured in another year or two, I can start recycling.
Yes.
You know, if appropriate, all of these again, because sometimes there's new staff. Sometimes they need a refresher.
Tell me about your teacher's experience with that, with the bathroom brief.
Well, it's been varied. I don't get too much feedback from, I'd say, most of the teachers. I did have one teacher outright tell me she hates it. She just wants to go to the bathroom and be in peace. And I'm like, you know, every time I put a new one out, I always go over and I say, oh, I apologize, but I have a new one, you know, and just kind of made a joke out of it. But the teachers are really interested in trying to be the best teacher possible.
Yes.
For their ELLs, you know, ask me more questions or ask, there's three of us in our department. So they'll ask somebody, you know, on the department to tell them a little more about that. The administrators have loved it.
Oh,
I actually got, I don't know, my former principal had some sort of award she gave me.
Oh,
because I didn't ask anybody. I just kind of like one day they just showed up on the wall.
Yeah.
She gave me some little ingenious award. And then my current principal is a huge advocate of ELLs. And you know, she's done little shout outs. She'll actually, cause she does a weekly staff memo and she'll like, you know, she calls them the Baker briefs. I'm like, well, they're not really mine, but,
Baker briefs.
Tell teachers to look at them or, you know, make sure you read the Baker brief this week.
Oh, wow.
You know, so the administrators liked them. Visiting administrators or, you know, other district professionals have mentioned them because they're in, you know, any of the staff bathrooms, like other, you know, members of the school community would use, like parents might use these bathrooms.
Yes.
So they're just there for the community to see.
Oh, I didn't think of, you're just building on what I did. And I'm just thinking about one, like the fact that you don't have to go tape them up anymore. That's great. And two, the fact you did them in public spaces. I only put them in the secondary. Mm-hmm. I didn't put them in the administration building where parents often use, but I'm thinking about it. I was like, wow, that's what a great idea. Cause I was like lazy. Cause I was like, I'm only doing
it's a lot of walking.
It's a lot of walking. It's a lot. It really is meaningful. And I actually had a teacher who said, the teacher said, please no more. Can you please move into a bit to the side because it's like front and center. So I've moved them over to the urinals a little bit. Like instead of putting it right in center, I put it either to the right or to the left. So like they're staring.
Right.
They have to turn their head a little bit to see it. And so, but I think the fact that you didn't stop, even though one of the teachers outright said, I hate them, I just need peace. The fact that you didn't
it's
do
like,
that.
Sorry.
Yeah, exactly. Because then what's happening is like I love that you didn't do that because you then are allowing one teacher who doesn't like it to impact the learning experience of other teachers who are using it.
Right. And then this year I started off a little different is I actually asked them, it's like, well, what do you want to learn about this year? Yes. Like, what topics are you interested in as far as teaching, you know, teaching else? And I left a packet of sticky notes and a pen. And I said, please let us know what you want to know. And we'll make bathroom briefs just for you.
Yes.
And so how did they I got one piece of feedback and they said they want to know about math vocabulary. So far, everything I've created this year has been about either math vocabulary or, you know, I've gotten more into different aspects of teaching math. Like the last one I created was strategies for word problems.
Yes.
That is awesome. Asking for feedback from the teachers. Yeah. That's great.
Yeah.
What do you feel like they takes you a long time to create your Baker briefs?
Not at all. Because, you know, basing off the work that you've done, I saw that you use Google Drawings. I had never heard of Google Drawings before, but I'm usually pretty comfortable using the computer. So I checked out this Google Drawing thing, and it was actually so easy to make.
Yes.
So- but again, I'm comfortable using computers. So once I started actually doing Google Drawings, I started doing other stuff for the classroom using Google Drawings.
Yes. It basically, if you're familiar with PowerPoint or Google Slides, then you can mm-hmm. create on Google Drawings. It's the same platform.
So. Yeah, it was so easy. The only thing, like, because when I started to create my own, I liked your graphic that you used, and I had no idea how to use or make that graphic, so I had to kind of make my own. But you know, that's no big deal.
See, you found your own way.
So
that's great. There is there is a platform that I now use for graphics, and I do pay for it. It's called Flat Icon. It's like $75 a year, mm-hmm. but because I use it personally for my school and for my when I facilitate professional learning or on my blog, so I don't mind paying for it. But there is a free program mm-hmm. called thenounproject.com or thenounproject.org, and you can get black and white flat icons that you can, mm-hmm. You just have to credit the noun project. Yeah, exactly. And then mm-hmm. Flat Icon, it's also free, but you just have to credit the people who designed it. But for me, I just mm-hmm. bought the $75 plan subscription, and I don't have to credit because I bought the licensing to it.
Right. Yeah. So I have my own like little version of that, but you know, it's kind of keeping true to what you have. Once in a while, I try to put a little humor in it. Like, the one about for strategies for word problems, I actually put like a little Calvin and Hobbes comic because I figure, you know, if they don't want to read the strategies, maybe they'll read the comic.
Yes.
So try to tie in some sort of funny thing.
Right.
So there's a little humor in there too.
You're making it light. Yes. So I guess that's the same thing.
Yes.
I want to bring it up to listeners that you don't have to feel like what Laura and I are doing, you don't have to do that. You can actually simply find things that you read on Twitter or on Pinterest mm-hmm. or Instagram, print them out and then share them with teachers. Like that's simply like putting up Laura's idea of the sheet protector, taping that up once. Mm-hmm. And then just rotating them.
Yeah, it's so easy.
So easy. So great. I should
have. Yeah, you just switch them out. And then the other thing, like you were mentioning about Twitter, there was actually someone had a Twitter post when I was doing about math vocabulary, and they actually had a picture of their math word wall, but they had the little QR codes so kids could, you know, scan the QR code, and then it was going to get to I think it was a Flipgrid of a student giving the definition of the word.
Yes.
And so like, I just put that teacher's work, like a picture of the teacher's work, and, you know, wrote what the teacher did. And I'm like, this is like just any teacher. Like, this is stuff we could do here.
Yeah. I love the idea of just if you find a video that you really like, that you could mm-hmm. put it on a QR code and then put it up there and give a little description and then have teachers like scan it to see it. So
in action.
Yes. Mm-hmm. What a great idea. Yeah. Cool. Well, Laura, I will end because there's construction going on. But I do always end with traffic light teaching, which is this. It's what are green lights? What's one thing that you like to do and continue to do? Or what's one thing that you recommend teachers continue to do, a green light? What's a yellow light? A thing that they should start questioning. And then a red light is something they should really consider stopping.
Well, green light, I tell people how much I've learned from just the Twitter community.
Yes.
Because people don't always think of social media as a place to learn, but it has taken my teaching to a different level. So I speak highly of getting involved with a professional learning network on Twitter. Yellow light, I guess a cautionary is get to know your students. Don't just go by like the data you see. So I'm thinking sometimes like you get a file on a kid and you come up with ideas. I think it's really important to, you know, work as hard as you can to really get to know your kid, have a conversation with them, listen to them.
Yes, yes.
Before you decide like what a student's going to be like.
Right.
And
right. They're not a reading level. They're not like level K. They're not a score.
And sometimes if it's they love basketball and it's a level L, guess what? They'll read that book fine.
Yes.
There you know? Yes. It's I hate when people just like, kids are not a letter.
Yeah, kids are not a letter. Yes.
And a don't do, don't underestimate your L's.
Yes.
And I think that's something that some general ed teachers think is because if the kids just learning English that they can't, and that's never the case. I've never met a kid who can't. A lot of times it's just the teachers need to change their practice so the students have the ability to show that they can.
Yes, I love that you talked about the can't and can. Like, for me, it's a four-letter word when working with ELs is can't, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then,
yes,
because when we approach them with can't, then all of our expectations and our strategies and our lesson design meets that can't. But if we focus on what they can do and what we can do, the possibility changes and the energy changes. So that's great, Laura.
Yeah, because the kids are amazing.
Yes.
The kids I work with are so amazing.
Yes. They're willing if we're willing.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, Laura, your school is so... they're very lucky to have a teacher like you who takes a little bit more effort and takes a little more time to add to the professional learning of the school on saying a little bit later on Friday afternoons.
Mm-hmm.
And thank you for your time and for sharing. So,
well, thanks for the conversation, Tom.
No worries.
Really enjoyed it.
I invite you to rate this podcast and leave a comment. Each episode takes 3 to 4 hours to record and edit, so your comments make all the hours worth it. And your reviews will help educators like you find the podcast. Now, onto our recap. The smartest person in the room is the room. This is a quote by David Weinberger. This quote embodies the spirit of Bathroom Breeze. See the ones that I created as a starter set. Then build on them to create your own for the context of your school. Hang them up where you're allowed to. And if you do create them, please tag me on Twitter so I can celebrate you and your work in advocating for our students. Again, and that's exactly the purpose of Bath and Breeze, to communicate to teachers, to remind teachers that our language learners can learn as long as we support them. And it's our responsibility to learn strategies to support them. In the next episode, Dr. Chris Tennyson will talk about how text sets encourage reading and understanding for language learners. Thank you for listening. I'll see you soon. Be safe and be rooted in peace. It's your turn to play traffic light teaching. Tweet at me either your red, yellow, or green light from this particular episode. I'd like to share a testimony from an educator who participated in one of my online courses.
Hi, my name is Mary, and I recently took part in the January 2020 Scaffolding for L's hosted by Ton. It was a phenomenal course, to say the least. Really one of the best things I've done recently. Best investment of time and money. As a teacher, I very seldom have people come up to me and say, hey, Mary, what are you struggling with? What would you like a little help with? And that happened almost every week with each of us. We would bring something that was frustrating, being it small or large, and people would help you see it from another perspective, help you see another way that you might tackle it. But everything was always geared around helping our L's comprehend and understand and grow better, which I think was really driven home that there is no problem that we can't solve if we will just be willing to be creative and open to continuously trying. So again, I encourage you to participate and enjoy. Take care.